day is found in the four Gospels concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very early in the morning, as the Sabbath came to an end and it was just beginning to dawn, we find two women mentioned by Matthew coming to the sepulchre, namely Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who, as Mark gives us, was the mother of James. Matthew gives us two women. Mark, he gives us three women. And Luke, he gives us a number of women that accompanied each other to the sepulchre that morning. These women, they had seen Christ crucified and hung upon the cross. They had likewise attended his funeral. They had seen where he had been buried. And after this, they went back to their homes, and they rested according to the commandment upon the Sabbath day. But they made it up with each other that they would prepare spices and that they would go to the sepulchre very early in the morning. Now, these women then, we find them on the way to the sepulchre very early for the first day of the week. Now, there were two obstacles in the way which could have prevented them from coming to the sepulchre. In the first place, there had been a great stone rolled before the door of the sepulchre. They had seen this. And likewise, they probably knew that the priest had put a watch by the grave, guards, soldiers. There were then two things that would have easily prevented these women from going to the sepulchre. But this did not deter them from going. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ with such a burning love that they got up very early in the morning. And we find them, regardless of what was in the way, going to the sepulchre. Don't they put some of us to shame? Time was maybe that some of us had everything over for Jesus, for God, and for his service. Yea, that we also got up early in the morning. Just as David says, early will I seek thee. We did this so that we would be alone, that we could pray alone, that we could read the Bible alone, and that we could seek God. But with these women, I would think it was still this way. But with many of us, it is not that way. Many of us find many excuses, and we try to make these excuses good with our conscience, that we cannot seek Jesus at this present time. We do not go to pray as we used to do. We do not take up the Bible as we used to. And when we have any legitimate excuse, we would even stay away from the outward means that God has given to us. This is a token that our love has waxed cold, that it's not an exercise. For was it an exercise, we would be like these women still. The things of God would be uppermost, would be first, but they're not. The world has become attractive. Things of time and sense have gotten a good hold upon us, and the things of the Lord have subsided substantially in our souls. Now these women, they came very early in the morning to the sepulchre. And as they were coming to the sepulchre, there was a great earthquake. Earthquakes are terrible judgments of God. They have a devastating effect. Many earthquakes take thousands of lives of people, and sometimes whole cities around about the earthquake are practically ruined. They're brought to nothing. There have been a number of earthquakes, even in biblical times. The Bible relates to us of an earthquake in Elijah's time, when he was upon the mountain, and he went out, and as he was on this mountain, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. There was an earthquake in Uzziah's time. This earthquake was tremendous, according to Josephus. It cut a mountain in two and parted it and transferred it a half a mile away from where it had been standing. Here we have likewise an earthquake taking place when Jesus arose from the dead. If you remember, Matthew recalls to us that when he died and he spake, "It is finished," and he gave up the ghost, there was an earthquake. And when this earthquake took place, why, we find that the rocks rent and the graves were opened, and many of the saints that had been buried, they arose and came into the city after the resurrection, and were seen of many in the city. The commentaries don't give us too much information on this wonderful event of these people rising from their dead. How long they remained on earth, what happened to them, is a mystery. If you and I were living at that time, probably, we would have liked to meet some of these people and ask them what their experience had been while they were buried in the ground. But such things are concealed even from those that study the scriptures and are given wisdom and understanding in them. But the earthquake took place when Jesus gave up the ghost. The earth then, which he had created, received him. He was buried in this earth. And now when he arose from the dead, the earth quaked again. God sent this earthquake, and it released Jesus in the grave from the death that he was obtaining and likewise receiving for the sins of his people. This earthquake then was a tremendous earthquake that it shook the grave, and it caused Christ likewise to arise in the grave. This was a wonder of God that this took place. The earth then shook, not as it did when he died, but it shook because of joy, because of exaltation, because Christ was coming up again out of the earth and was going to ascend up into heaven above. And suddenly there was likewise an angel of God descending from heaven. And his appearance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And he came, and he rolled back the stone that was before the door of the sepulchre, and he sat upon it. And the soldiers that were guarding the grave, they were filled with fear, and they began to tremble and shake because of the appearance of this angel was illustrious. It was fearful for them to see. They had been placed at this grave just to guard a dead man. That was a simple work for these soldiers, to stand guard by a grave where somebody was dead. They had been told that probably the disciples would come and would try to steal him out of the grave. But these disciples, they could be easily handled by the soldiers. But instead, God sent an angel. Now what an awful sight this was for these soldiers. They began to shake, they began to be frightened. And the Bible says they became like dead. They were frightened stiff. They couldn't move. So God revealed from heaven his power and his glory in sending such an angel down. Angels, we know, were probably created the first day. And these angels, they are surrounded the throne of God. They are in his immediate presence. They are ministering spirits sent out to the help and to the encouragement of those that shall obtain salvation. Angels have been used by God many times while this world has stood. Christ was attended by angels when he was born, and then angels came and sang. And we read that when he went out into the wilderness and the devil tempted him for 10 days, then when he came back, angels ministered unto him. When he was in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, then an angel came and strengthened him. Here we have likewise an angel sent for this purpose, to roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher and to make way for Christ to come out. Christ then arose upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, before that these women arrived at the grave. Christ had many times said unto his disciples that he would be crucified and that he would die, and the third day he would rise again. And now upon the third day, he did rise again. He lay in the grave around 36 or 38 hours. And now he laid all day of the Sabbath day, of the Passover Sabbath of the Jews, he laid in the grave all that day. But the first day of the week, he arose very early. Now this teaches us that the end of the ceremonial laws and all the institutions which pointed unto Christ had come to an end, and that Christ arose upon the first day of the week, upon the first day that this world was created. God spake and commanded the light to shine forth out of the darkness. Upon the first day of this week, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the light of the world, came forth out of the darkness of the grave to appear unto his disciples, and likewise to ascend into heaven. He arose upon the first day of the week, of the Sabbath day being past. This Sabbath was the Jewish Sabbath and was buried when he lay in the grave. For when he arose, we find that the first day of the week became the Christian Sabbath. Nowhere do you read in the New Testament anymore of the old Sabbath day of the Jews. But we find that Christians were accustomed to assemble the first day of the week. We even find this in the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter, right after Christ had shown himself to his disciples. 6 days later, we find them assembled again together the first day of the week, and Jesus appeared unto them. In the Acts of the Apostles, we find that the Christians were accustomed to assemble together upon the first day of the week, which is now our Christian Sabbath, in which, in honor to Christ, we observe as such. And now Jesus then came forth out of the grave very early in the morning. He laid aside all signs of mortality. He triumphed over death. He appeared gloriously unto this angel who seen him. And we find that after this took place, that this angel sat upon the stone that he had rolled away from the door of the sepulcher. He sat there waiting for these women to come. He knew that they were coming. And now when these women came to the sepulcher, then we find that the angel addressed them and said unto them, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Of these women, they were filled with fear because they saw this angel by the sepulcher. Now, the angel did not speak to the soldiers or to the guard that was by the sepulcher. They were left in their fear. Now, this teaches us that sinners will be so frightened as these soldiers were when the Lord Jesus comes in the great day of judgment. Then they will be filled with fear and tremble and quake. And likewise, there will be no word of comfort for them. But these women, when they came, the angel immediately addressed them and said unto them, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified." These words must have been very comforting to these women, for they were filled with fear. He meant, "You have nothing to fear of me, because you see me, such a glorious personage. I came to bring you good news. I have comforting words to speak unto you. You have nothing to fear." All my hearers, no one that seeks Jesus should fear. But as the Bible has so many fear nots in it, it teaches us that these creatures that seek the Lord are accustomed to have many fears. And many times God uses these fear nots for their comfort, for their encouragement. Oh, it's a blessing when we are filled with fear, and who at times is not? Fear that the work has never been begun. Fear that we have deceived ourselves. Fear that we have deceived others. Fear that sin will get the best of us and that we'll run away from the profession of religion that we have made. Fear that when we die, we have to meet an angry God and we'll never be able to appear before him. For we miss the most important thing, namely Christ, as the foundation stone of our salvation. Oh, so many dear children of God are filled with fears. They fear continuously. These women were given to hear, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus." Could I say to some of you amongst my hearers, "Fear not"? I know that you seek Jesus. I know there are some amongst my hearers that do. What a mercy if you are one of them that seek Jesus. No person by nature seeks Jesus. We have no need for Jesus. We hear of him, we read of him, we're taught of him, but we don't have any true need for Jesus. If any person in my audience is seeking Jesus, then God has caused you to do this. He has sought you out. He has put that into your heart to seek him. You never seek him by yourself. And in seeking Christ, we are many times discouraged because we find that our heart is not always exercised in seeking him. But there is one in heaven that has put this into our hearts, and he likewise knows who they are that seek Jesus. "I know that ye seek Jesus." Who knows this? God the Father knows this. God the Son knows this. God the Holy Ghost knows it. Even angels know who they are to seek Jesus. This angel knew these women. He knew that they sought Jesus. Oh, could it be said of you that even in heaven they know that you're seeking Jesus? That there are places in your home? That there are places that you resort to, unknown to others but only known to God, that you seek him? What a mercy, my hearers. If God has caused you to seek him, his dear son Jesus, that you cannot live or die without him, he becomes the one thing needful for you. Has he become that to your soul? Oh, when this takes place, my hearers, then it's just like when this earthquake took place. You know, an earthquake, as I said, is a terrible thing. but an earthquake spiritually causes a person likewise to be upset. It causes inwardly a great fear. But this earthquake spiritually causes a person to become a guilty, a wretched, a miserable, and an undone sinner. And when a person is given to experience this, and the law condemns and the law testifies against such a creature, then it is often heard and said by many of God's people, "What must I do to be saved?" And immediately they begin to do something. They begin to work 3 shifts a day. They begin to try to make it good with God. Have you ever tried that, any of you that are listening to me? Oh, every one of God's people, they try to do what God commands them to do. They try to obey the law. They try to rear up a righteousness acceptable unto God. And God is pleased, if it's His work, to let this come to a falling in a heap. All the work that that person has been doing. There is then sometimes a storm of hailstones which makes this wall of righteousness fall to the ground. And when this takes place, that poor creature doesn't know what to do anymore. They've come to the end. There's nothing for them to do, but they're lost, they're ruined, they're undone. And when they're in this position, then it pleases God to come. And He reveals a way in Christ Jesus whereby they can be saved. And when this takes place, then such a person begins to seek Jesus. Then Jesus becomes the one thing necessary. And this with cries, with sighs, with groans, with longings, with desires, they seek Him. I wonder if any of you that are listening to me have this. If you have this, the God in heaven above knows this, because He has begun this in you. And this seeking will surely end in finding. He never set a soul to seek Himself that He did not give, that it found Him. You probably have found Him. You found Him in prayer. You found Him in the Bible when you were reading it. You found Him under the means of grace at times. The Word was sweet. The Word was encouraging. The Word was comforting and uplifting for your soul. How sweet it is when we find Jesus in the Scriptures. Find Him when we are in our closets. Find Him when we are given in the depths of misery and fearing everything is wrong, that He comes and that He lifts you up and encourages you and strengthens you to seek Him. "I know that ye seek Jesus," He says, "who was crucified." This He said for this reason. They had seen Him being crucified. They had stood afar off from the cross. They were lovers of Christ. And when they seen Him crucified, who could picture to you what was going on in their minds and how their eyes must have been filled with tears? For they had ministered unto Him of their substance, and the disciples, there were none there but John. And these women, lovers of Jesus, the weaker vessel, they were near to the cross, but they had no opportunity to help Him. Oh, I'm sure their hearts were yearning to go to Him if they could only help Him in His trouble, in His suffering. But this was not permitted. And now these women, we find them here coming to the sepulcher. And they are being told by this angel that they were seeking Him who was crucified. Oh, I am sure every true seeker of Jesus is seeking Him that was crucified. Oh, they long to come to that place that they may see Him crucified for their sins, nailed to the tree, hanging on the tree, and leave, and by faith believing that it was for them personally, individually. all to find Jesus as their crucified Savior, to know that he paid the price for their sins and put them away by the sacrifice of himself. And the seekers of Jesus, they long for him in this respect. And until they find him, they can find no satisfaction, even in their seeking at times. This angel then pointed them to what they had seen. They had seen him crucified. This affected them immediately. All they remembered that he had been hanging there. And he spake unto them and said unto them, he is risen, he is not here, as he has said, come see the place where the Lord has lain. He reminded them of what he had said to them. If they had believed and had faith and exercise, they would have never went to the sepulchre. But they did not remember the words that Christ had spoken to them. He had told them that he was going to be crucified and the third day he would rise again. Many times they had heard this out of his mouth. But now when the time was there that it took place, they could not remember that. But the angel said unto them, as he has said. In one of the other gospels it said, and then they remembered his words. All my hearers thinking of this, it may be of comfort to you too. It may be that the Lord has given you words at times, but you can't remember them anymore. You need a glorious remembrancer to bring them back to you. So this angel brought back to these women, as he has said. Has he ever said anything to you? Has he ever given you a word? Has he ever spoke home to your heart upon which you have been caused to hope? Your hope is based upon the word of promise that he has given you. How sweet it is when we are brought back to this and to that word that he gave unto us at that and that time. Oh, it's sweet to be given to remember. So these women were brought by the angel to remember what he had said. They remembered then. Oh, yes. Oh, what joy this causes in the soul. When we cannot remember anymore and we're so filled with unbelief and doubts and fears whether we ever heard his voice, then to have God come again and give us to remember what he has said, that he's a faithful God, that he never goes back on his word, and that it most certainly will take place. So these women, they were encouraged by the angel that as he has said. And we find that these women then were given an ocular demonstration, a proof that Christ was risen. For the angel invited them to come and to look into the sepulchre and see where he had laid. This they did according to the other gospels, and they did not see Jesus. But they seen the napkin, they seen likewise the clothes that he had on, they were all laying in the sepulchre. You know, my hearers, it does you good sometimes to go to a graveyard and to look into a grave and to meditate and say, well, that's where I'm going to be someday. And then to be led by your meditations to Jesus Christ, how that he likewise laid in the grave. And if you may be a seeker of Jesus, then you will be comforted to know that he triumphed over the grave, and that although you have to lay in the grave until the day of resurrection, most certainly he will remember you then, and you will arise to be with him in heaven above. It is good to go to the grave because it reminds us likewise of our own mortality, that soon we shall pass away. And that is the end of all flesh. But these women then were given to see where he had lain in the grave. And after this they were instructed by the angel that they should go unto the disciples and that they should tell the disciples that he was risen from the dead. And that they should go into Galilee And there they would see him. And now we see these women, and they went away from the grave with great fear and great joy. Oh, they were filled with joy because they had heard that their Master, their Savior, was risen. This lifted them up. This they could believe because he wasn't in the grave anymore. They had seen this. Oh, how encouraging it was for these women. And now these women, they immediately set out to tell the disciples. Matthew gives us no account anymore of how that they came to the disciples and told them, and how that the disciples could not believe what they said was true. But Matthew goes past this, and he says that as they were going, Jesus met them. Jesus met them. And he said, all hail. What a meeting this must have been for these women. They had come to the grave. They had not found him there. The grave was empty. They had been encouraged. They had been told that they would see him. And now the promise that this angel gave was fulfilled. They met him, and they fell down at his feet, and they worshiped him. It may be that you, poor soul, have likewise been encouraged. You have received some words, some comforting saying of Christ to your immortal soul, that you likewise would find him. You likewise would be given to see him by precious faith. And you've been looking forward to that time. From that day that you received that word, it's probably a long time ago. Sometimes the promises of God, they lay under the earth for years. But he remembers the word that he has spoken, though you may not remember it. This took place immediately with this woman, but with many a soul. They find encouragement, they find strength under the means of grace, but they do not find him, just like these women did, for he appeared unto them. Oh, wouldn't you want him to appear unto you? Thirsty, longing, desiring soul. Isn't this the one thing that you want? Jesus. Oh, to know that he's my Jesus, that he's my Savior, to find him, and to embrace him, to fall at his feet, and to worship him, and to claim him for your own heart and soul. So these women, they found him. They fell down at his feet, and they worshiped him. Oh, what a blessed meeting this was for these women. Oh, surely they were given joy and peace in believing in him, for they found the words of the angel to be true, that he was risen. Oh, my hearers, this precious Jesus, he arose from the dead, and he appeared unto his disciples, unto the women. He appeared unto many even before he ascended up unto heaven, unto 500 brethren at one time, the apostle says. Oh, wouldn't you want him to appear unto you? The appearance of Jesus makes such a change in a person's life. The appearance of Jesus gives us to believe that he has chosen us from before the foundation of the world, that we are one of his elect, that he has given himself for us on the cross of Calvary, that there is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. What a blessing when Christ appears unto poor sinners who have been longing and looking and desiring to find him. Oh, I would encourage every seeking, longing, and desiring soul amongst my class. Oh, keep courage, dear soul. The Lord who has begun that good work will never forsake the work of his hand. Although you may fear and tremble and quake many times in this life, he who has promised is faithful, and he most surely will fulfill the word that he has spoken unto your soul. He never goes back on his word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. For all his people, he was so for these women, and he will be so for you, and for everyone that seeketh him in truth, in sincerity, in honesty. The Lord calls every one of my Bible class to seek this precious Jesus. I know it's a work of God to seek Jesus. I know you have to be born again. You have to experience a spiritual earthquake, as I said. Shall any work begin within? Oh, when this takes place, then a person leaves everything. Then the things of God become uppermost. And then love of God in the soul draws that soul to God. Oh, how easy it is then to forsake the world and every form of friend, and to walk in the ways of God, to seek him with our whole heart, to enjoy him already in the beginning of this life, and eternally hereafter they will enjoy him. They will be with him forever and ever, never, never to depart from him. The Lord bless our feeble instruction this day to your immortal souls for his name's sake. That's all.